Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
You're listening to Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum. Thank you for joining me again. Yeah, you keep doing it. Maybe you're just a big Joel McHale fan. I can't speak, Ryan.
Fow.
Yeah.
Doing air horns.
Hey, thanks for making this podcast yours. It's always a blast to have Joel McHale in here. He's a funny, funny guy. Very filled with gratitude. Comedy. Mm-hmm. It's always a treat, and I think you're going to really enjoy it. Some things, if you just go to my Instagram at the Michael Rosenbaum and go on the link tree, you'll see what I'm doing. Cons, going to DC in March with Tom Welling, doing a Smallville Nights and autographs. It's going to be a big con, awesome con. Literally, it's called Awesome Con, right?
Really?
Yeah.
Funny.
If I have a con, it'd be called Rad Con.
Rosencon.
Rosencon.
Uh-huh.
But the link tree has my, I'm on Cameo if you want a birthday wish or something, and the Inside of You online store. We've got Smallville ship keys, Lexima scripts, and new shirts with my face on it, if that's what you really want. They're really cool. Sunspin.com, that's my band. We play shows usually every month, and there's a lot of good stuff there, good merch. The best tumblers I think around are Sunspin tumblers. You might want to have a look at those. And you could book the band. You could also get a Zoom with me. And most importantly, Patreon. If you want to join Patreon, patreon.com/insideofyou to support the podcast, give back. If you like this podcast and want to keep it going, it's you guys that really help. So I thank all my patrons for giving me love and support. And Rosie's Puppy Fresh Breath is out there. It's on Amazon if you want it. If you want your dog's breath to not smell like crap, Rosie's Puppy Fresh Breath. You can see that on the link tree on my Instagram as well. And it's great. It's odorless, tasteless, and the dog's breath. My dog's breath is just phenomenal. And sometimes Charlie eats his own poop, and then he has some of that, and it kills it. Kills that bacterial.
But lucky you got it.
That's for sure. Also, a big shout out to some nonprofits that I work with. I'm on the board for the animal ARM. It's called ARM, Animal Rescue Mission. And my friend Shearer runs that. And animalrescuemission.org or .com. Also echoesofhope.org for foster youth if you want to help out. And foodonfoot.org for the homeless situation. That is just intense as hell, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of good stuff. We're going to get into this podcast now. I hope you're enjoying the podcast. And we have some great ones coming up. Nicholas Holt, who's going to be the new Lex Luthor. So you get to hear us talk. And that's going to be happening very soon. And some old school actors coming along the way. Mm-hmm. Billy Dee Williams, Lando Calrissian. Wait till you hear that one. Or John Rhys-Davies or Edward Furlong's coming up. A lot of great ones. So we really appreciate you to subscribe, write a review, and support the podcast. You doing all right? You going to therapy?
I'm doing all right. I'm going to therapy.
Ah, yes, man. If only I can get my father into therapy, that would be just sweet.
I love my dad, but he won't go either.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Old school, huh? It's that old school mentality. I don't need it. Yeah, you do. Let's get inside of Joel McHale.
It's my point of view. You're listening to Inside of You. Michael Rosenbaum.
Inside of You with Michael Rosenbaum was not recorded in front of a live studio audience.
We're rolling audio.
Hi, welcome to Leaf Blower with
Michael Rosenbaum. Yeah, there's some leaf blowers in the back, but we were just getting into such gorgeous conversation.
Yeah.
That we were talking about the fact that Johnny Cash did a Folgers commercial.
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Thanks for filling me in on that.
Yeah, it was surprising. I was like, wow, Johnny must be out of money, or he's doing a favor.
You know, he maybe Folgers was paying him a great deal of money.
Yes.
I mean, if Folgers said $5 million, Johnny.
Yeah. What's his name? Salvador Dali did a Alka-Seltzer ad in the '70s. And I was like, yeah, do it, man. Remember when it wasn't cool to be on commercials or you couldn't be in movies and TV at the same time?
That went on for until probably I'd say 15 years ago.
Yeah. It couldn't make the crossover.
Couldn't happen.
And the Michael J. Foxes were very rare. They're like, oh, he made it.
Yeah. He's a movie star and he's doing talk radio. What was that show? Spin City.
Well, he had done the movies before that.
Right.
I think. Yeah.
And then he did. And they're like, whoa, actor on a TV show, movie actor.
And then you couldn't, they're like, oh, you can't be on a game show. You can't be an actor and be a game show host. And then along came Snoop Dogg and
is that who
Jamie,
did it?
Well, Jamie Foxx and The Rock did it. Like when The Rock did it, people were like, oh, anybody can do it now.
Well, you do everything.
I just don't say no.
Is that true?
That's the difference. It's like, you do everything. No. I just never turn it down.
I don't believe you. I don't believe that you don't say no sometimes. I don't believe.
No, I do say no sometimes, but when
money's involved.
And I was like, how much time? Oh, yeah, great.
And I would do that in a heartbeat. You do features as an actor. You host shit. You do game shows. You do everything. Improv.
It's just out of desperation.
I don't believe it is. I think you're a quadruple millionaire.
I don't. Well, let's see. I have $4.2 billion.
Oh, okay.
And I don't know why I keep working, because I have this 80-foot. Well, I have a fleet of yachts.
Do you think
the Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria?
Santa Maria. I couldn't name the rest of them. There's only one more. There's three. That would be the three.
The Johnson,
Nina, Santa Maria,
the Mike
Pinta.
Johnson.
The Mike. But let me ask you.
Yeah.
If you had $4.2 billion, you wouldn't do anything like this podcast.
I absolutely would do this podcast.
So you enjoy doing all these things, or you wouldn't do them?
I really do enjoy them. I don't. I remember thinking when I read this interview with Marlon Brando, and he goes, if I had to do it all again, I would just have a man come to my door with a bag of money each week and say, here you are. Thank you very much. And then I would say, no, thank you. And that was and I was like, wait, so you wouldn't have done any of this? You just want a bag of money?
You just want a bag of money.
Which kind of said, like, maybe he's not enjoying himself at this point in his life.
Do you ever look at actors? I was really high yesterday. I did the show and I had to get high during it. And I still have some highness.
You had to?
Yeah, you had to get high because it was a show that you tell a story.
Oh.
It's like Drunk History Monk.
I see.
Monk.
Drunk History Monk.
Month.
It is?
It's like Drunk History Month. But
what's it called?
It's, I can't say it because it hasn't come out yet.
Oh, okay.
But it's, so other, you know, actors do it and you tell a story. Like mine might have been about something in history, which I know you're a history buff. And so they give you, the night before they gave you, like, I already said this, but 5 pages of dialogue or 5 pages of like a monologue.
Like, this
but,
is what you
but
should
you
know.
Just have to know the story. Just know the story. Don't worry about anything else. So I was like, oh, I was freaking out. And then they got me really high. They have like a medic on set. I talked about this.
Medic?
Yeah, and they have a pot guy, and then there's the water. We're holding on.
That's just me urinating on your couch.
Jesus.
I have
some powerful urine.
It's a liberal stream.
It is. Do you pee a lot? Do you drink a lot of water?
Do you think water is important? No.
I mean, do you really think people put
such weight
on water that you have to drink all this? Make sure you drink
it. Doesn't make any sense, because human beings somehow survived without drinking 2 gallons of water a day. It was not viable for human beings to drink all the water they want us to drink each day.
Yeah.
And it seems like it would wear out our prostates or whatever, like with all this water passing through. And I just don't know when they're like, what did he die of?
Not enough water.
Yeah. I mean, he was hydrated, but he should have had another gallon a day.
Yeah.
I drink a lot of water. Like when I exercise, I drink probably a couple of
liters. Because you're thirsty and you want to stay hydrated.
I
don't
drink, but I was just like, well, I got to get through all this water today. I hope I make it. And then I got to hand it to the way they market those bottles, where it's like, here we go. And then it says, you're getting there. This is instead of listing like how much water you're drinking. It's encouraging you, like, almost done. And now bladder explosion.
We've got alkaline in this water. This is going to do something.
It's like, what if you didn't live? Yes. As long as you're talking about that. This is because Michael has, he's violating all sorts of California Gardeners. Laws.
No, they can water things.
Well, not the way they used to. Well, don't you get an extra water bill?
My water bill's decent. It's not that bad.
Okay.
I don't use an exorbitant amount of water.
We were using a huge amount of water, and we couldn't figure out where it was going. Turns out it was a gigantic leak. I mean, that was like a pipe.
For how long?
Months. It was just going. And we were like, what the fuck? We were getting like fined by the city. And I was like, I know we're not. This is not the fucking Huntington Gardens. This is what's happening.
Stallone got in trouble.
Oh,
Stallone and a few celebrities for using too much water or something. They got in trouble by the city, or was it water or maybe too much power? Much electricity going on in your
house. Wait, but if you're solar, are you solar?
I'm not solar. Are you solar?
Yeah. Our power bill is $5. It's amazing.
My electricity bill, my power is probably $1,500 a month.
Well, maybe it's something to think about.
But let's talk about your workaholicism.
Yes, it's not great.
Does your wife like it?
No, not really. It gets a little bit to be a grind for my poor wife because everything is shot in Vancouver and Atlanta and other places. And it's too bad that I love shooting here, believe you me.
I know.
It's great. But this is the nature. These are all terrific problems. But right. She doesn't like it when I'm gone. I don't like it either. So if we were without, with kids that were, if we could take them around, we would do it. But they're teenagers. And they're like, hey, you want to go to Atlanta for a couple months? No.
No, I have my friends here, my school here.
Yeah, and, why would I do that?
It's nice here.
What am I going to just sit and what am I going to do? Yeah.
Well, you do your career.
Yeah, well, you leave
what at about my career?
4 in the morning and come home at 7.
Yeah.
No, it's not going to happen.
That doesn't sound good. Now, you've been married 27 years.
This December is the 30th anniversary of kind of our first date.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's crazy.
What are you going to do? Do you have any ideas of what you're going to do for your 30th anniversary of when you met?
I'm going to buy a truck, probably.
You're going to buy a truck for yourself?
Yeah. She can ride. She can use it.
She can go shotgun.
I'll probably take her on a date. We'll go out to Jeffrey's. No, I'm kidding.
What was the first date? Where?
We went to the Swingside Cafe in Fremont, the neighborhood of Seattle.
So you're not going there. You're not going to fly her to Fremont.
It's out of business.
It's out of business.
I looked it up and it had gone out of business like 5 years ago. It was great. Italian food. It was an old house. I think the house is now 18 micro apartments.
Jeez.
What's happened?
Do you remember? Don't be bullshitty.
Uh-oh.
Do you remember looking at her and going, wow, wait a minute. I'm really like, this could be it. This could be the one.
Yeah. Well, it was like, she was a mail order from Russia.
Here we go. Can't even get serious. Can't even get serious.
And I had 90 days to decide.
I had to do this.
Oh, when I first met her, I was like, oh man, I wonder if someone as attractive as her would actually spend time with me.
Really?
Yeah. And then she did. And I was like, oh my gosh. And then I was like, let's go on a date. And she agreed. And, I had called my friend Kim O'Neill. It's now Kim Screen now, lives in Bainbridge, Washington. And Bainbridge is the home of
Kurt Cobain.
Pickleball. Oh. That's where it started.
Oh, in the 70s. That's very cool.
Yeah. So there's a little fun fact. People now make, treks out there and leave burnt offerings at the foot of the original. It's now just
pickleball
a
arena.
Flat part of the forest. I remember thinking, I have to use all my powers, all my charm, all everything I've got
to
get her to like me. So I took her on a ton of dates with money I did not. I had been in a Ford Aspire commercial. They had this crappy car called the Aspire. I think Ford would agree it wasn't the greatest offering.
Now you can say that.
Yeah, they got blown away by the Neon, the Dodge Neon at the time. And it was similar. Anyway, I was like, oh, I'm going to make all this money off this commercial. And I just started spending, putting everything in my credit card. And then I got this one big check. Finally, I was like, and I got the money back. So
thank God.
Thank you, Ford.
And thank you, Aspire.
Yeah, the Ford Aspire. I see him once in a while. They're not in great
memories,
shape.
Right?
You don't see him at the, you know, the Peterson. But anyway, yeah, she agreed long ago when I dragged her down here. And here we are.
Well, let me ask you this. Is this too personal? How long, how many dates before you made love?
Oh, we were doing it. No, yes, I'm not going to tell you that.
Why not?
I don't know. It just seems weird.
Really?
Yeah, I'm not going to. I mean, don't you feel like, I was like, ah.
Was it fast or did you take a long time to know each
other? I was really, took my time. I wasn't going to mess this one up. You know,
good.
Take my, because I really liked her and continue to really like her. And so I was just like, and
that is, were you a little bit like, almost, I shouldn't do anything? And she's like,
yeah, I'm not going to do any. Yeah. I was just like, I'm just going to be
a gentleman,
the nicest guy, and hopefully so she'll sweet. Like me. And yeah, it wasn't like I was just like, I'm going to try. I'm going to use all my power.
And what was the moment you were like, I definitely want to live the rest of my life with this woman?
I still haven't made up my mind.
you dick.
Ooh.
27 years, man.
I don't know. I was just pretty sure. I didn't have like, there wasn't like a Jesus moment where I was like, she's the one. It was just kind of like, oh, I'm never going to stop liking this person. And a lot of the people this is going to sound really great. I didn't date people for a long time. I had never had long girlfriends.
That's honesty. Yeah, okay.
And it was always like, I was with them for like 2 weeks. And then I was like, I got to spend like 2 months trying to figure out how to break up with them.
Yeah.
And I was just like, what am I going to do? And then
worst feeling.
I was like, I'm not annoyed by her at all. And she's not annoyed by me. So this is love. And I mean, she's really annoyed with me most of the time now. I was just like, fuck, I can't believe how much I like spending time with this person. And then then it just never stopped. And then I asked her to marry me after we were married in 2 years. And everyone.
You lived together?
No.
First?
No.
And people say that's not a bad thing to do, live with them and then see how they are and then maybe get married. But you said, you know what? I'm good.
Yeah. I mean, I think it can cut both ways.
It cuts both ways.
Bread.
No.
No.
Miami Sound Machine, I think.
No, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Dirk. No, I think it's.
Cuts both ways. I think it's. Gloria Estefan.
No,
it's not. I'm right. No, he said it. He looked it up.
It's the Arrhythmics. it's Falco.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
The judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
I got a friend, well, Boyd and Brad, these two guys I work with, it's insane how they could, and my perfect example is like, they'll bring up Turk 182, like the movie, they'll name the director and who wrote the score.
That's crazy.
It's.
Yeah, I wish I could do that. And I should know a lot of these directors. Like if you said who directed this, I should know it.
No.
But I'm not very good with that.
It's different smarts.
Is it?
Like there's like, you see people, like the Jeopardy smarts is recalling facts quickly.
Are you good with that?
It depends on, sometimes it really depends. Sometimes I'm fast as hell and other times I'm like,
this guy said, give me liberty or give me death.
I would say Roy Orbison.
I'm going to go with that.
Okay.
It might have been Patrick Henry.
Patrick Henry?
Revolutionary War.
Oh, I thought that was the guy that built the
city.
He built a city of rock and roll. What are the... Oh, here it is. No, sometimes I'm quick, but what am I saying? Because we all know very smart people that cannot do that.
Yes.
That don't
have... that's a wit. That's witty. That's a form of intelligence.
Well, yeah. I mean, you may not be quick off the draw, but you could design the Golden Gate Bridge or something. So you
may seem like, why can't I recall that? Why can I not put that together? Because I guess what? It's not that important.
It was
stick
never
with you.
It never was like people who love fantasy football, and I'm in two fantasy football leagues, and it drives me out of my brain. The fact that I'm like, now I'll go sit at a computer and move words around. That's not that fun to me. So I have my friend Boyd. Boyd does it again.
I do that thing. I do this thing called Prize Picks. It's an app for sport, for game, you know, for putting money down, and it's a blast. Wow. I actually love it.
Now, are you betting actual money?
Yes.
Oh, well,
but not a lot. It's like $20 to win
but
60.
It's fantasy.
It's
football?
Fantasy.
Yeah,
it's
like, I can.
It's but anyway, I don't know that much. Listen, you know what's awesome about
can you
this?
Hear this?
No, I still hear that water. Is that your still hear the water? Let me say this. I'm talking to you for 15 minutes.
The Lost Boys is my favorite thing.
Oh, the signed Lost Boys VHS tape.
I saw that movie no less than 8 times in the theater.
You loved it that much?
I bought a black like trench coat, my friends. Yeah, it's pretty good. I almost bought a script signed by them all during.
By the way, do you want me as just for fun? Jason's a good friend of mine, and Kiefer's become a friend.
No way.
Yep. I just had dinner with them like 4 days ago.
Can you get Wiest's?
Yes, who played Billy? No.
The mom, Diane
Wiest. Oh, Diane Wiest.
Who was so good, though, with the scenes.
I don't know her.
What's his name?
But I can get you something signed.
Oh, fuck yes.
Why don't we find a script online or something?
I'll do that in a heartbeat.
And get it, and I will get it signed immediately.
Are they nice people?
They're so nice.
I met Kiefer a while ago, and he seemed very nice.
He's very nice.
His acting skills are pretty remarkable.
You know what's funny?
I mean, they're all remarkable.
I asked him the other night. I just said, because he plays music and he tours and stuff. And I'm like, do you love music more than? He's like, you know what? I love them. I love acting. I love it. I love being on set. He really was it was just I go, you still, you like, and he just went into the zone of like passion. And I was like, holy shit, I wish I felt like that. Do you feel, are you pretty passionate about everything you do? Do you love it, or is it some of it you love, some of it it's work?
I would love acting if it all started at 11 o'clock in the morning.
And ended at four.
No, I'd be willing to go like
7.
I did a movie where I shot it at night and I was like, this is perfect.
The horror movie.
Yeah. And yeah. I was like, get to work at 7 and I'm all awake and I can stay up all night and then go have breakfast and then fall asleep for 6 hours.
So you like that?
I liked that a lot. That's the only thing that bothers me.
6 a.m. to like 7:30 at night.
It's just, and then you get home and you're learning. I mean, it's great.
And you're learning more.
Yeah. And that's just when people like, oh, Hollywood, you guys just have, I was like, nobody works harder than us. Now, that's what I'd be like. When Teamsters will drive off the road falling asleep and they had to change the rules because they need to get them hotel room so they don't fall asleep while driving. And I was like, and so I'm always defending.
Oh my gosh, they're the first ones there, the last ones to leave, and they've like worked the hardest.
Yeah, they're or the people that like show up and set up all the food and
everybody.
Yeah,
everybody.
And it takes this great wonder. That's what I think. Yeah, it's the greatest business of all. I really do fucking love the business. And so when it's something when I'm having fun doing it, I still can't believe people pay us to do it. Like,
yeah.
Like I have no discernible skills other than, have you heard of pickleball? Okay, second time I mentioned it. And no, but I can't believe it. So anyway, that all said, I do love it. I don't like being away so much, but I do. It's all I ever wanted to do. I'm not one of those dickheads that gets on set and just pissed. Because you, yeah, know, you, well,
you don't
that
seem
like
that guy.
Yeah, but you know,
but they don't want to be there.
Yeah, you're like, why? You don't why have to
you,
do this.
Yeah, why are you doing it?
Yeah.
And then they're like, well, I'm getting paid a lot. Well, if you're getting paid a lot, you should be happy.
Right.
You know what it comes down to? They're not happy.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of these people aren't happy. That's what I was kind of in a roundabout way getting to that point where I see, you know, there's a lot of people that just don't look happy with what they're doing. You were talking about Brando. Maybe he wasn't happy.
Yeah.
I think it's obvious he wasn't happy. He just, but did you ever have that feeling where you didn't feel like you were a happy person and you go, how do I become a happier person?
I think if you deal with your shit, if you go to therapy and make sure you're okay, that's helpful, which is what I had to do because during the pandemic, I began to have a lot of, I think I had anxiety in general, but I was like, oh, this is not a feeling I've ever had before. Like where I'm like, anxious for no reason that I can figure out other than there's a worldwide pandemic happening. And so I was like, oh, I should go take care of this and, you know, find out other things. But no, I think you're right. You can tell when people are on sets that are just miserable and you're like, so sorry that this job you accepted and, you know, we've all worked with them. But I'm sure that's in every single line of work or maybe not. I mean, yeah.
No, I mean, usually people are doing. They hate the jobs they're doing because mostly they're not getting paid well or treated fairly or, you know, they're going same kind of bullshit thing, this cyclical, redundant, like, you know, this is my life.
Yeah.
And that sucks. And I always say, well, you know, try to do something fun on the side. Try to do something you're passionate about. Try to, you know, but it doesn't make as much sense when you're making a killer amount of money, like, you know, studio heads and, you know, big conglomerate CEOs and all these people who have everything and and you have to think, well, they just weren't happy before.
That's right. Yeah.
And they just weren't happy before.
I think, isn't there some cutoff point with money? Like they figured out.
When do you need enough?
There's a tipping point where it becomes too much of a burden. And I forget what that, I mean, that's, I'm sure it's not across the board, but like when you read 1,000 times, they're like, they won $50 million in the lottery. And 3 years later, half their family was dead and they had lost all the money. You know, it was just like, oh, what a terrible time they had.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't. Yeah. No,
it's hard to understand. I've always been like, you know, all right, how much do I have to live? I could live for this long. I remember even when I was living in New York. All right, you can get through this month. Oh, wow. You have 3 months of rent paid. It was $230 because I live with 3 guys in a 1-bedroom. Okay. You have this. This is food. This is, oh my gosh, you have like $200 in the bank. You're all right. This is good. And then all of a sudden, but then as I got, you know, luckier and started making more money, it never stopped. It was like, okay, if it all ended now, this lifestyle I could live. And for me, it's just about being able to live a certain lifestyle where I could just hang out with my friends and just enjoy things. And I don't have to just break even, not dip in any savings. And just, I don't need to be a billionaire. I don't need to make that much money. I'm just, you know, I don't have a family like you, but you know, it's,
no, I agree. Like you'll, of all things, I saw this thing with Dan Blazarian.
Who's that?
His name. He's like a billionaire. He's constantly like at the Bellagio shirtless. He's got a huge beard surrounded by models. And have you see him right there?
Is he happy?
So he was talking about being unhappy. He was totally unhappy, but he was like, thought a Lamborghini was going to make me happy. I got a Lamborghini. And he was like, that was fun for 4 days. So I got rid of that. And he was like, it came down to like time and friends. And I'm like,
that's it.
Because time is the ultimate, you know, commodity that there's not
a lot of time.
It goes by fast.
I know we say that all the time, but it's what the hell? He's ripped. He's got a fantastic body. He's a billionaire. But then you're like, you're happy. Fuck you, dude.
You assume. And also we're taught as Americans, you know, like go get all this stuff.
It'll make you happy.
And then I go to my house. I'm like, well, you have a shit ton of stuff, Joel. Well, look at you. All this stuff everywhere. What are you doing with all this stuff? And yeah, it's fine. And then I'm a hoarder. I'm a hoarder of nice things.
Do you have a lot of things at your house?
I do have a lot of things.
Like signed things and memorabilia?
Oh, no. I have cars.
How many cars do you have?
Like 11.
11 cars. So you have a big enough house to
they're not all
there. Okay, because I was like, wow, you don't need to work then if you have 11 cars in your house.
I like them to fix them up and then get my goal. Like, I like old cars and I like them being fixed up, and then I can have them or sell them for more money than I bought them for.
So you buy a car for $15,000 and sell it for $50,000.
I have a car I bought for $15,000 and I think I could sell it for $100,000 right now. So for like I make sure they're nice. My friend is the real fixer. Like, certain cars, if you can find them, like if you find a K5 Blazer right now from the 1970s, you can buy that. You can be a bucket of shit for $5,000. If you do the whole thing, you'll sell it for $200,000.
So you have a buddy. So it's almost like you're buying a house for a good price, and then you're going to do a fixer up, and you work with this guy. Like, so here's what we're going to do, and this is what I think we can make.
Yeah,
so I'm going to put the money, you do the work, and then
I like the world. I'm terrible at that work. His name's Brian Corsetti. He's a GM wearing a shirt.
Corsetti
Cruisers. And he's really good at it. Like, so I have a 1990 Land Cruiser that we completely redid, put a new suspension in, and put a Corvette engine in it. And made sure, and just super nice, and put these old stripes on it that Toyotas used to come with. And I look at it and it makes me smile.
That's awesome. Does he work? Like, could I pay him to fix up something?
Yes.
Now, would he do
the problem is he's now with the pandemic, and he's gotten more fame.
And
he's damn good at it.
Yeah.
It has exploded.
And he's expensive.
Well, I mean, these are expensive, but if you take the time to restore these vehicles, they will make you money.
What about a 2002 Dodge Tony B signature series van?
Mm-hmm. What do you want to do to it? Just bring it back.
I
want to
repaint it.
Like,
I want to get better. What do they call it? In between the tires, rims.
You want the spinners?
No, I just want nicer ones. And I want.
Where is this car?
It's in front of the house.
Oh, what are you doing with it? You just love it?
I drive my friend. I've thought so many times of selling it, but it's got so much nostalgia. And I use it to, like, we went to Delusion, which is a horror kind of like storytelling haunted house. And freaking wherever we went, it was about an hour and a half drive. But I drove them all there. It was fun. Sometimes I go to the Olive Garden. Sometimes I take them on trips. When I've directed my movie, I brought it out to Indiana. It was a production vehicle. It's we go on big hikes, and I take everybody in the.
You don't
take
the Rivian.
Well, no, I mostly drive the Rivian.
Right.
But I feel like, you know, if I'm going to keep this van, I should make it a little bit nicer, paint job, things like that. You know.
Yeah.
And I want the
like
battery.
Sam Raimi's car that appears in every movie he does, which I think is a Chevelle.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't that Chevelle in Evil Dead?
Yes. And then he just restores it and to different, I think, different levels of restoration for whatever movie it is.
Wow.
I like that. So, you know, maybe. Like, is it going to shit?
No, but I think it needs, you know, it feels like the battery's always dying. There's something wrong with it. Maybe that's more mechanical.
You could probably put a new engine in it and it'll go forever.
It's only got 42,000 miles. And it's 21 years old.
But the battery's dying?
Well, the battery always gives me problems if I just don't drive it for like a week.
Oh, well, yeah.
So that's happen. Normal?
That's
anyway, enough about
that. That's normal for a car that age. Anyway.
Yeah. So you do this thing. It makes you happy. You're already happy. You have a beautiful wife. You have a child. You have a good career.
Yeah, two
childs.
But I have two childs. boy childs. And
boy childs.
They, no, but that doesn't mean that I definitely... You know, later in life, anxiety has popped up. So I'm like, oh, I should go deal with that. And so now I am.
Does your wife notice when you're anxious? Does she say you need to talk to your therapist?
She, for years, was like, you should go talk to somebody. And now I do. And
so, every week?
Every week.
Even if you feel like you have nothing to talk about, you're going to do it. That's your time.
That's the best time to go.
It is.
Yeah.
I always tell Ryan and I were talking about that because he goes to therapy and it's like, sometimes like I have nothing to say, and then all of a sudden 15 minutes in, you're into something you never thought you'd be in.
Right. It's between because my ADHD has been not realizing that I really had it, and now I kind of do. I know that many people do, I think it gets misdiagnosed, but I was like as scattered as it gets. And so I'm trying to, get that under control.
Do you take anything for it?
I'm taking Wellbutrin, but I don't know if it's doing anything. So I'm monitoring that to see if it's, someone said, the person that prescribed it was like, it can help. And
well, if it doesn't,
I don't think it is.
Well, I don't take Adderall, maybe it is, or that stuff, but I take a low dose of this stuff called Vyvanse, and it's not right for everybody, but it's less addictive. It's just like, it helps you just focus.
Is it like Adderall?
It's like that, but it's Adderall. It's like just, I think, terrible. Adderall makes you feel like shit, and I feel like I'm crawling out of my body, and it's intense. This is very smooth, and there's different. It's the only thing that works for me. And so if I wake up and I take it, I know I have about 5 or 6 hours of real focus.
Huh.
You know?
All right. I've only taken Adderall once.
I don't like it. Did you?
I took it and fell asleep. So I don't know.
I think I got tired too, and I have like ADD.
I think that means it's working. Because all of a sudden you
relaxed. But it was too relaxing.
Oh, mine was just, it didn't make me drowsy. I was just like, all right, well, my morning's going to go on and I'm just going to lie down. And it was pleasant.
But you weren't doing anything.
I did my day, but they like, people like, I told them I took 45 milligrams because the person like, you have it. You have it. You need to take this and see what. And so I'd had a day when I didn't have to do anything because I didn't know what was going to happen.
Right.
And it was 45 milligrams. And I don't know if that's a lot or a little. And so I was like, okay, that was an experiment.
You were one and done, though.
I did. Well, my ADHD was just like, all right, well, let's keep moving on, guys. Let's keep running. gerbil in my heart just running on this wheel.
Is it hard for you to learn lines with the ADHD?
Once I snap in, it's a lot easier.
I don't want to do that. I don't want to just sit here. I want to go do this.
It's going to the dentist every time for me.
Yeah.
Once I'm there, it's better. But then once it's in, then I'm okay.
But learning it when you were doing that one show on NBC.
Yes.
You had to learn lines constantly.
That was usually day of.
Was that hard?
Once you start doing it a lot, then it's like, it's like practicing a sport where you're like, oh, what's it? What can the we?
Yeah, they would just give you new lines.
We also, scenes would change and lines would change. So we would at first we got them in advance, but then it slowly shifted to not as we moved through the seasons. And then we're getting them the morning of.
Is it possible that some brains just aren't designed for that? Because I always think I must be stupid because I can't juggle like that. I want to know my shit. Like even the other day when they're throwing me lines to say, it was hard for me to, I need to see it and visualize and sit with it, but they're throwing things at me and I can't always just say what they said.
Oh,
what is that? If you say, he fell down the stairs and then I ran around the thing and I went through the thing. I already forgot it.
Right. Well, you also, there's also a lot of other things happening. You're acting. There's some sort of blocking happening. There's cameras pointed at you. You're in dialogue with someone else. So it's a lot. And then when that starts happening to me, if it's a long line, I'm like, say it again. What are we doing? Okay. That's what I'll say a version of that I can say. If it's not too long, but I also like improvising a lot.
I like improvising.
Yeah. But then you get on some sets where they're like, don't
do that.
Don't do that.
Yeah.
And so I don't think it's, but I want to think about like, how do they remember all those lines in a play? I'm like, oh, well, they've had 3 months to rehearse it.
That's it.
But the other thing I use is Line Learner, which is an app. So you can, I think there's a number of different versions of Line Learner, like memorizing lines where it can read all the dialogue. It reads the dialogue. So reading the scene out loud with my phone is the way I do it. So it's like if there's lines going back and forth.
So they say a line to you?
the thing says the line, and then, I mean, obviously I've looked at the line beforehand, so it's like, all right, that's the cue for that. The reason I'm saying that is that. Now it goes over to this character, and it's all, so that really helps when, like, if it's a big scene.
You know what I used to do on my phone is just read the scene as the other character and leave it blank. So I, for instance, if my line was, well, how have you been? And then 2 seconds, I've been so great. Then my, so nothing, I'm sorry, nothing yeah. for my line.
Right.
And I go, how you been? So great. Oh, well, that's awesome, man. What have you been? Blah, blah, blah. Oh, well, I went down to the fucking, and I would just, that's how I would learn it.
That's, yeah, that's what line learner is.
But that's what line learner is, but you don't have to do that.
You could have designed that app.
I could have, I did. But yeah. They stole it.
Those mother. I mean, you know when you get on sets where people are not prepared, which is really lame. And then, you know,
yes.
you're on set with something that's really complicated. And then you're like, oh, well, that was very complicated and it's hard to do. And so you cut them some slack. But,
yeah.
You know, when people show up not knowing their lines, it's like, oh, man.
Here and we you've go. Dealt with that.
Yep. So have you.
Yeah, it is. It's tough.
I think the only rules to SAG are show up and know your lines.
Hit your mark. Show up. Know your lines. That's all you got to do.
Yeah.
That's your job.
You can be super shitty and do those things.
Yeah.
Or just not do those things at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, which is not great. What are you looking at? Are we memorizing lines right now?
Yeah, I'm trying to learn it. Do you have an Italian passport or a Norwegian passport and a Canadian passport or any of those?
I made them today, yes.
Because you have Norwegian in you.
I have Norwegian and Irish, and then I was born in Italy.
So you have a passport, you dual citizenship?
No.
But you could get it easily.
I think I could because I have a birth certificate.
Why don't you do that?
ADHD, man. Every time I was at the Delta desk at LAX and the woman was Italian. And I was like, oh, and I could tell. I was like, oh, you're Italian. And she was like, yeah. I was like, oh, yeah, we started. And of course, I was like, I was born there. And she was like, you idiot. Why don't you go get it? You can go get it right now.
Yeah.
And then I did.
That easy.
Yeah, you have to apply for it, but I think it would be okay. And then my mom's Canadian, so
you can get that too. That'd be a little harder, but you could do it.
I was born before the United States recognized dual citizenship. I mean, you could just walk into the consulate at that point or wherever you were and go, "Here's a Canadian baby," and then they would be like, "Great!" And then you would walk to the American consulate, like, "Here's an American baby. Don't tell the other. Don't tell any. Don't tell them." Which is always odd, but now they recognize.
You probably get, honestly, don't, you're a humble man, but how often do you get offers? Would you say you get an offer a week
for
something?
You mean like go, like for work or for like, go do a, go come to a golf tournament?
Well, no, that doesn't count.
Okay, good.
But like, hey, we want you to host this show. Hey, we want, there's this role in this movie. Hey, there's, come speak at a college. Hey, we're going to pay you to do this. Do you get a lot of paying engagement offers a lot?
I do. Yeah. If it's long as it's like, as you said, like whether it's stand up or like there's hosting gigs and then there's like corporate gigs that I host.
And you like that stuff?
I do like that stuff. I find it fun. Yeah. I like hosting a gig like that. They're like, you're going to, it's for a company retreat and you'll host the dinner. And I like that stuff. I'll be like, great. I mean, I'm such an extrovert that. Yeah, I mean, I'm like, you'll pay me money to go do that? Oh, great. All right.
See, I love that. And I love that about you that you don't have any ego. Like,
I mean,
you have a huge ego. Yeah, you're laying on my couch. You have a fucking big ego.
Yeah.
No, but you're such a humble dude. Now your legs are spread, and that's a nice package there.
Thank you. Look, it ripped at one point. I had to sew it together.
Did you really like those jeans that much?
Yes, John Elliott.
You know what I feel right now when I'm looking at you spread eagle on my couch? I'm thinking of you being a tight end in college.
Yeah, this is how I attacked guys.
This would have been your
crotch first. I just leapt into the air.
This is
what hit them in the face with my
the old scissor slam.
Got them, and then just broke their necks.
But you don't like. The thing is, people could call you and say, "Hey, there's this acting gig," or they could say a host gig or a stand up. You could do anything really, and you do.
Yes, I just do them all mediocre.
No, have you ever been mediocre or lousy in something?
Yeah.
What's one thing you could think of and go, "I just wasn't great in that."
I did a movie with Robin Williams, which was the biggest, one of my dreams come true. And I was like, I think I was fine. I think it was just perfectly fine. And I wasn't too happy with it. But Robin was great.
Did you get down on yourself?
Oh, yeah.
You do?
Oh, fuck. Yes.
Do you get down on yourself about everything if you're less than what you think you can be?
Yeah, it's like, my wife, sometimes with stand-up, I get really pissed about, like, oh, that joke didn't work. This one did. That one kind of didn't. I lost them there. I got them back there. I'll get real. And then
you relive it.
Oh, yeah. I self-loathe and get pretty neurotic about performances. And that's why I don't really watch them. Which it, this is the there you go, Lumix camera. This is the height of my neurosis, where I don't really like watching me perform.
I don't either. Gosh,
do you? Do you? Brady? Do you get down on yourself?
Oh, yeah. Do I get down on myself? Oh man, yeah. I'm the worst at getting down on myself. Because I can see sometimes when I've watched myself, I go, wow. Like, I've actually been able to say, you're really good. But then I remember how confident I was in that scene. And then I'll see myself and I'll go, yeah, but you weren't confident in that scene. I could tell you were a little nervous and you were just doing it. You were doing it. And you know how to sell it, but you weren't in it. So I'll be really hard. Like, and sometimes I was like, why can't you just be like that all the time? Why can't you just be so confident and you see where it gets you? When you have confidence and belief in yourself, it's just you can go so far. And when you don't, and it happens so often, that it just hinders you from being, you know, meeting your potential.
Right.
And so that I get down on myself like that. And I go, what is that? Why, you know, is it the anxiety? Okay, I'll get on meds for that. Is it the ADD? I'll get on meds for that. What else is there? Is there that magic thing? But honestly, it's just, you know, it's who I am. I think there's a neurotic person that's just living inside me. And it's with a lot of other things, a lot of other personalities. Not personalities, that sounds schizophrenic. But like—
No, I know what you mean.
You know what I mean? There's a couple of things that are going on. There's that confidence and that ego and that insecurity and that sadness and that— all these things into one, which makes me. So if I'm a little bit not great in that, give yourself a break. All right, next one.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
But it's, but yeah, I
no,
like.
I'm there all the time. Yes.
You are too.
Yeah, and I'll get, like, I got, like, if it's an act, I get really wigged out about acting sometimes and I have a coach that I'll work with to work it out and to really fly. If it's a movie that I know that, you know, like, it's coming up and I've got some time and I'm so idiot that I'll book this, his name's Jim Anzai, he's amazing, and I'll be like, Jim, I am procrastinating, I need you to come over for 2 hours and we're gonna bang this thing out and work on it, and it helps a lot. It's still though, yeah, I know exactly what you mean by getting to scenes and I'm like, oh, you really, we're fine, okay, I can see
good
that
for you.
Yeah, well, yeah, you really, well, We'll get him on the next one. And yes, but you know, that then, you know, like, oh, this house I'm in was bought by this thing that I do. Okay. You can
reality check.
All right. So you've done it. You're okay. You've been okay at this, and you'll probably be good again at some point. All right.
That's healthy. That's like, I think you're right. I think it's like, that's what I do, by the way. I say, hey, you have a house, you have dogs, you have great friends, you can afford to do things, you've done some great work. It's okay to fail. It's okay to bomb. It's okay not to always be great. It's okay to be vulnerable. So, and I keep telling myself that. I'm telling you that, but I also...
Then, you know, no, then you go through it again.
You go through it again and again. And so it's like, that's not going to stop. And you always hear these things about when you're dying or you're really old and people are... You know, what's your regret? And you know, the old guy's like, I didn't hang out with my friends enough. I didn't care too much.
Well, he's always got to be kind of a New York Italian.
No, it's stereotype. It's what's his name? It's like, so the other thing is you said he did it with his left hand, but he was right-handed.
Michael Douglas?
Columbo. You fuck. I don't know. It's a bad Columbo.
Denzel Washington?
Denzel. No, Columbo.
Right.
So you go through it.
I think no, when people are like, I don't have any regrets. I'm like, I have lists of them. I can show you like, oh, I could have done that better.
You know that joke? Maybe we cut it or not, but the guy goes up to an old man. He goes, how old are you, sir? He says, I'm 105. He says, oh my God, look at you. What's your secret? He goes, excuse me. What's your secret? He says, I sucked a dick once. No. Your secret to living a long life. He says, oh, carrots and cabbage.
That's great. Where did you hear that?
I don't know. I just heard it. What type of comedy do you enjoy? What makes you laugh?
Most recently, What We Do in the Shadows. It's so good. It is astonishing. I can't, like it is really something.
And it is really funny. I want to be on that.
I want to be on that too.
I tested for it. And obviously they picked people who are way different and way better.
Yeah.
But like I love them. You know who
Which one did you test for?
You're gonna laugh. Nandor.
Oh, well, you would have been. I mean,
I had a little beer and it was just different, but it makes sense. He looks like he's from Romania.
Yeah.
Like he's amazing. So I felt like I did a good job and I had fun doing it.
Yeah.
And so I support the show.
That's yeah. And then other
thoughts. What makes you laugh?
Hallmark movies.
That's a lie.
You're right.
They don't make you laugh.
No.
Make you cry.
They're not that funny.
What's funnier, Caddyshack or Vacation?
Caddyshack.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I mean, Vacation's very funny, but Caddyshack, you've got all these heavy hitters at once operating together.
Did you ever ask Chevy for an autograph?
Nope.
Do you know what? I had never seen that side that everybody saw until I went to do a signing, and Beverly D'Angelo is a good friend of mine.
Oh.
And she goes, hey, let's go take a picture with Chevy. And it was like behind the scenes or whatever. And he was just sitting there and said, hey, this is Michael. You remember him? Blah, blah. That, you know, you met him a few times. He's a friend of mine. We're gonna let's take a picture. And I was like, we don't have to take a picture. I was like, let's take a picture. And so we take a picture and I go, hey, it's okay. I'm very forgettable. And he goes, don't talk in my face. And I go, I went like this. I go, are you kidding me? And Beverly goes, shh, don't.
Jeez. So you saw the good side of him.
Jeez. Did you see some nastiness?
Oh, my. Yes.
Like the worst of the worst?
Fuck, yeah.
Like me? I'm not fucking doing this.
There's a chapter in the book that I wrote about fighting him, on how to fight him.
I have to read this book.
Yes, we have a fold out.
What is the book?
Thanks for the Money.
Thanks for the Money.
Yes.
And you have...
We are step by step on how to fight Chevy Chase.
Fist fight or verbal?
Fist.
Did you fight fists?
Multiple times.
You fought him?
I mean, we there was pushing and shoving, yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It was
you would have killed him though.
It was advanced horseplay. You know, horseplay.
Was it fun?
And then it always turned into sex.
But it wasn't fun.
It wasn't fun.
At all. Like it was like your adrenaline was going. Like I'm going to hit this older guy.
It would get a little contentious. Yeah. It would get to this point where I'm like, okay.
Would the producers just like jump in?
I got in trouble one time because I injured him. Yeah. I've dislocated his shoulder.
I'm reading this book immediately.
Yeah. No. And the funny thing, like I've brought, like people like, there's an entire chapter about him in the book. Yeah.
Did he ever respond to you about it?
No. No.
Think he ever read it?
Nope. I don't think so.
Do you think he knows that he could be an asshole?
I would assume so. I would think so. Yeah, no, the guy is, yeah. I mean, he just did Mark Maron's podcast and it made all these headlines because he's like, I didn't find the show funny and didn't want to be there. And then my response is, yeah, well, feelings mutual about your attitude and you didn't have to be there. Don't. Like he was like, I didn't want to be around the table with those people. And then like Gillian even said, where it was like feelings mutual. And it's like, yeah. This was not a prison sentence.
No,
you didn't. We were not conscripted into a war. You were being paid a lot of money and getting free food all day long. So
yes.
You could just walk away. And he, you know, and I was like, so what?
Was he at least nice in the beginning?
When I first met him, I was like, hi, I'm Joel. And he's like, mm-hmm. Like, you know who I am.
Jeez, good start. Good fucking start.
Yeah, no, I mean, someday, then there'd be days he was good. But it was always
get me out of here. Why don't we shoot now? What's taking so long? Fuck, these lines suck.
Oh yeah, I was like, these aren't funny enough for me to memorize. That was
They have to feed them lines, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. No, it was a whole thing.
This has been awesome.
Thank you for having
me. It's so fun. By the way, if you could go back in time, would you maybe punch Chevy in the face, knock him out?
Oh,
at one point.
Well, no, I'd be sued. So you know that would.
Well, not if he was handling you too.
Well, yeah, but if I could go back in time, I'd just, kill Hitler.
Hmm. But what if you could only go back like 10 years?
Oh. Fuck. I think I'd buy a fleet of rental cars and then sell
them up.
Sell them
with
right
your buddy right there.
Sell them right after the pandemic.
That's all right.
Yeah, I don't think I would. Yeah, I think like dislocating a shoulder. That
inadvertently, however,
Yeah, he wanted me to punch him as hard as I could, so that's why.
Really? Punch me.
Punched him in the hand with a left. Yeah, and then he went down.
Really?
We're in a scene, a boxing scene. So, yeah.
So he said, hit me.
Yeah, I was like, you're not hitting me. I'm like, well, all right, if you really want me to.
And it was a good punch.
Yeah, I mean, it was a left, so I'm a right-handed when it comes to punching. So,
yeah. And it still got him.
Still got him. But that could also
be. You're a strong man, Joe McHale.
Thank you very much for saying that.
All right. This has been a joy.
I can pick my kid up at 3. This works out.
This is perfect. This has been a great time. Ryan, did you have fun? He loves you. We both love you. We were excited about you coming back.
Come on my podcast when I get one.
I'd love to do it.
I just got to cook you some steaks at some point. See, I'm never around to do it anymore, so it's great.
We'll make time.
Do you eat steak?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Love you.
Love you.
Thank you.
I love you, Joel. Thank you. That was a fine interview. I want to have him on for the rest of my life, or the rest of this podcast existence.
He's great. I would love to sit on the couch with him, but
he's a big guy, so he needs the couch.
He's not the biggest we've ever had.
Who's the biggest? Nicholas Hoult was pretty big.
Nicholas Hoult was very big. Pete Holmes is a good 6'6".
Pete Holmes, yeah. I'm going to be in his podcast. I'm going on there in April.
Fun.
Yeah, that'll be fun. Just on the couch with him with the mic. That'll be a good time. And a little shout out to my friend Katie Sackhoff's podcast. You should listen to it. Just go on her Instagram and you'll find the links there. I'm a guest on hers as well. It was really good. And a lot of stuff. I'm doing a interview with Screen Rant, which is cool. Trying to get into some more voiceover work. So that'll be fun. And writing a lot, Ryan. I'm writing a ton.
You've been telling me. I
just can't stop writing.
Envious.
And I don't care about the outcome. I'm just excited about them. I'm writing a horror movie. I'm writing a series. I'm writing another series, which is really dark, about a serial killer, and just doing all these different things. And I'm enjoying it. And I think the process for the first time is nice. I'm enjoying the process. I'm not worried about the end results. I'm going, hey, I like this. How can we make this the best it can? And then give it a shot and see what happens. That is until I'm broke and nothing's selling and I need something to sell. Thanks for listening today. And you traveling anytime soon, Ryan?
Me? No. Yeah. No.
Are you enjoying the Talkville podcast?
I am. Maybe I'll join you in DC. I don't know.
Huh?
Maybe I'll join you in DC.
Dude,
I don't know.
I would love if you joined in DC. You could be in the Smallville Nights and you can get up on stage and read scenes with me and Tom.
I have tons of friends in DC too.
Go to DC. I'll hook you up.
All right.
Go to the con and come to Smallville Nights and hang out with me in Welling a little bit.
Sure.
For a day.
I haven't seen Welling in person in well over a year.
In Welling over a year. By the way, if you haven't listened to the Mark Shepherd interview, you must. He talks about dying 5 times a couple months ago, and it is extraordinary. It really is. Even if you don't know him, it's a fascinating story. So do that. All right, let's get into the top tier patrons. These are the folks that really give back to the podcast. They get their names shouted out every episode. They get packages from me and notes from me and Zooms. I'm doing a Zoom with the top tiers today, actually, which would have been a week ago, if you think about it. All right, top tier is patreon.com/insideofyou if you want to give back and support the podcast. We need you. And shout out to everybody I met in North Carolina at the Mad Monster Party Con. That was a freaking treat. You know, Kiefer Sutherland, I'm hanging out with him and I become buds with him and name drop. And he, I was talking and Welling says, you know, you should bring your guitar. You always say you're going to bring your guitar. I go, I know, I need to buy a travel guitar. So Kiefer then says, I forgot mine. And because he's a musician, he tours all over. And he says, I bought one right when I got here at this guitar shop. It's brand new. It's an $800 guitar, a Taylor Mini. And he gave it to me.
I got one of those.
He gave it to me.
That's awesome. They're so good.
It sounds so good. And I go, you know what? You're signing this.
That's really nice.
So he signed the back of my guitar. He's like, you know, he put, hey, brother, you know, something really nice.
And, that's super nice.
Super nice. And my other friends like, he's worth $100 million. What's the big deal? I go, dude, it's not about that. It's about that he went out of his way to give me something that was really nice. No one gives me things. I mean, sir, patrons send me things all the time.
But also, as far as travel guitars go, though, that one is.
Ooh, I'm actually playing with it. I could play with it.
Yeah.
It's comfortable.
Yeah.
It's cute.
It is cute.
Yeah. Top tiers. Nancy D, Leah, and Kristen. Little Lisa, Yukiko, Jill E, Brian H, Nico P, Robert B, Jason W, Sophie M, Raj C, Jennifer N, Stacy L, Jamal F, Janelle B, Eldon Supremo, 99 more, Santiago M, Leanne P, Maddie S, Belinda N,
Dave H.
Wait. Dave H. Hello, Dave. I miss you, bud. Hopefully you're going to be on the Zoom today or last week.
Brad D, Ray H, Tabitha T, Tom N, Talia M, Betsy D, Rhiannon C, Corey K, Dev Nexon, Michelle A, Jeremy C, Brandy D, Mr. M.
Eugene and Leah, how's the baby? Mel S, Christine S, Eric H, Shane R, Andrew M, Oracle, Amanda R, Kevin E, Stephanie K, Jammin' J, and Leanne J, Luna R, Mike F, Stonehenge, Brian L, Jules M, Jessica B, Kaylee J, Brian A, Marion Louise L, Romeo the Band, Frank B, Jen T, Nikki L, April R M, Randy S, Oral P, Rachel D, Melissa H, Nick W, Stephanie and Evan,
Charlene A, Don G, Jenny B, John, Jennifer R, Tina E, NG, Tracy, Tasha S, Keith B, Anna M,
Waffles is new. A few newies here. Thank you guys for all that you do on Patreon, and I appreciate you. And you know, patrons, top tiers get to ask questions and for the guests, and it's a lot of fun. It's a big family it's become on Patreon. So join patreon.com/insideofyou. That's it for the podcast today. I appreciate you. Love you from the Hollywood Hills in California. I'm Michael Rosenbaum.
I'm Ryan Tails.
You are.
I am.
Little wave to the camera, and hey guys. Please be good to yourself. Most things are nothings. So try to think about that. A lot of people think about these little things that aren't that important and they stress. But most things, Ryan?
No things.
Are no things.
Nothings.
That's correct. All right. Whatever. We love you. We'll see you later. Peace.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.